Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We are just about to wrap up chapter 2 of the book of Ecclesiastes and get started today into chapter 3. You remember in chapter 2, Solomon investigated a whole lot of areas that people pursue in order to find happiness and fulfillment in life, and he passed his judgment upon all of them to tell us how effective they were. And the conclusion of this is found in verses 24, 25, and 26, which close out the chapter. And in summary, this is what he says. Every good gift in life comes from God. God bestows good gifts upon those who live for Him. God withholds temporal enjoyments from those who live for themselves. And therefore, true enjoyment is possible, and these areas of life that some people pursue in order to find it can bring a certain measure of happiness, but man cannot achieve that on his own. It is only living for God as the first priority in life that brings contentment and fulfillment and happiness in the simple pleasures of life. And furthermore, only living for God as our first priority brings true wisdom and joy. And therefore, this examination of chapter 2 answers the question at the opening of the book, Ecclesiastes 1:3, what profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? And his answer basically is no profit whatsoever unless God is in the center of your life. And then all of these things bring a measure of profit in this life, but the only thing that will enable them to bring profit, happiness, fulfillment in this life is by putting God first. And if you leave that out, then they will not achieve what you have anticipated. And so that's the concluding verdict, we might say, of chapter 2. And we will move on into chapter 3 after I welcome you to this Wednesday, July 22 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and remind you that we do depend upon the gifts of radio listeners in order to be able to continue to pay the bills and to teach God's Word on this station. Well, Solomon has explored various elements of life in order to discover their value. Elements such as wealth and the things that money can buy, sensual pleasures such as wine, food, art, music, and even sex, intellectual pursuits, wisdom and knowledge, labor, and the satisfaction of accomplishments by working hard. And the question is, can any of these produce lasting fulfillment in life? And the answer is no, if they are pursued apart from God. But yes, if God is first and everything else is subordinated to His will. That's the conclusion of chapter 2, and that is such an important message, and everybody needs to hear that. Everybody needs to get a hold of that. No, Ecclesiastes is not a dry, dusty book without value, as many have concluded. No, Ecclesiastes is not a puzzling book that cannot be understood or any benefit received from it. Far from it. It is a very, very, very instructive portion of God's Word. Now, with that behind us, we move into chapter 3, and there are two basic instructions in this chapter. The first one we could summarize under the phrase, understand the appointments of life. That's verses 1 through 11. And number 2, live in the light of eternity, verses 12 through 22. That's it. In many ways, this is a reiteration of what we saw in chapter 2, but he's going to give us a lot of new things to think about, and we'll look at them one by one. But again, what is he saying? Number 1, understand the appointments of life, and number 2, live in the light of eternity. Now, when I say understand the appointments of life, what do I mean by that? Well, I mean, number 1, God appoints the circumstances of our lives. And number 2, God appoints the perplexities of our lives. That's what I mean by understanding the appointments of life. So let's take these up. God appoints the circumstances of life. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And this, by the way, is a pretty well-known section in the book of Ecclesiastes, but a lot of people miss what it's actually saying. Because, well, you'll see in a moment, but I'll read it and you'll recognize it. Chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Well, that's a well-known section. I've heard it read at different times, in different settings, even in weddings, for example, and at funerals at times and at other places. And it's obviously a good bit of common sense wisdom. It is set forth in poetic form. It's something that's fairly memorable. But we need to make sure that we do understand the purpose for which Solomon wrote it and for which God the Holy Spirit directed it to be kept and included in this portion of God's Word. One of the best known sections in the whole book of Ecclesiastes, I'm quite certain, and it is, in fact, a poem, and the common refrain is the word time. In fact, the word time is used 28 times in the course of these 8 verses, more than an average of one time per verse. The poem is set forth in 14 pairs. You recognize that. A time to be born and a time to die. That's one pair. A time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. That's another pair. So there are 14 pairs, 14 couplets in this poem that lay forth this truth that God appoints the circumstances of life. And these 14 couplets are basically a depiction of virtually all of the events of life from birth to death. They cover just about everything. And as I say, it is usually treated as a prescription for wise living. Understand the wisdom of these statements, these couplets, and learn how to recognize when is the appointed time for each thing. And obviously the first one, a time to be born and a time to die, we don't have any control over that. But a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, well, that requires a certain measure of wisdom. If you are interested in acquiring a crop, you've got to know what's the right time to plant. And you need to know what's the right time to reap. And you need to know what's the right time to gather up the plants out of the field that have now have already been harvested and so forth. You've got to know these things in order to make your efforts, your labors profitable, productive. If you don't understand these things, if you plant at the wrong time, if you harvest at the wrong time, if you don't do things in the proper way, then of course you're not going to get a very good result. And that's just obvious. That's common sense, isn't it? And we could go through the whole list of 14 in a similar fashion. I don't plan to do that now. But it does occur to us that there's a great deal of wisdom in this poem, and it's therefore usually treated as if it is a prescription for wise living. But I think it is better understood as a statement of God's sovereign appointments. There is an appointed time for everything, is really what it's saying. Not that we are to figure out the right time for these things, though in some cases there's a measure of that there. We can't extract that from it entirely. We have to make a decision as to when is the right time to plant. God doesn't tell us when to do that. He doesn't say, okay, Mr. Farmer, tomorrow's the day to plant your crop. Of course not. But nevertheless, taken as a whole, what this section is talking about is that God appoints a time for everything, even in the planting of crops, though God doesn't say, Mr. Farmer, tomorrow's the time to plant your crops. When Mr. Farmer learns by experience, by wisdom, by consulting the almanac, by conferring with other farmers who have experience, perhaps learning it from his own father if he's the son of a farmer and so forth, when he figures out when's the best time to plant, the truth behind it is that God is the one who has appointed that as being the proper time. Yes, the farmer needs to discern it and act according to it, but what's underlying it all? God's sovereign appointment. God has fixed the seasons. God has appointed the times. And of course, they vary from place to place, from climate to climate, from country to country, from state to state. In the United States, it's not always the same. You don't have the same time to plant your garden in Georgia as you do in the state of Maine. But whatever is the proper time for either of those places, it is the proper time because God has appointed that time. That's the point. There is an appointed time for everything. Our times are in God's hands. They are God's appointments. And that's what this is saying. Now, I would actually like to go back through it, at least read it and point out a couple of places where this is very obvious. But the main idea is to understand that God appoints the circumstances of life. That first couplet makes that very clear. When it says, a time to be born and a time to die. Did you decide the day of your birth? Of course not. How foolish that is. Who did? God did. Will you decide the day of your death? Not really. The only way you can come close to that is by committing suicide, and that's another subject, but actually, we don't know the day we're going to die, but God does, and God has appointed it. It's not that God decides, okay, I think now's the time for Greg Barkman to come home. No, that day's already appointed by God. Our times are in His hands, and that's what we need to understand. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.